The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. I've got Danny Miles and Autumn Warren. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hi.
Well, you know, technical difficulties happen. They just happen. It's part of the business. But you know what? That's what happens when you're terrestrial. Sometimes stuff just happens.
And spices it up.
Yeah, absolutely. So how you doing, Dan the Man? Is that Dan the Man? Who is it? I can't see.
Yes, it is.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I feel like I'm still in Norman partying. I flew out Friday night and to celebrate my daughter's 21st birthday. Aviana was with me. We traveled there and back together, and I haven't stayed up that late in a long time. I went to bed, Danny, at like 4 a.m. with several shots and different drinks in my system and beer pong and you name it.
That sounds like fun.
But it was. I was like a college kid for like 24 hours. It was so much fun. We went to the Mont. That's a place where a lot of people go to you know, crack the code of 21, turning 21. And
get some swirls.
Yeah, get some swirls. I had a swirl.
I don't know what a swirl is. That sounds
swirl.
Bad.
It's a swirl. No, I didn't have it. I couldn't have a swirl because swirl's got tequila in it. And unless it's organic tequila,
sangria.
I had to have the sangria. Yeah, but a fun weekend, and so and the Buffalo Bills got crushed, and the Dallas Cowboys got crushed. I was crushed at both of those games, and so it just happens. But we have an excellent show coming up today. I've got Dr. Brad Dieter. We're going to be talking about the new blood pressure guidelines. I think it's a bunch of BS. We'll talk about it with Dr. Brad Dieter. I just think it's another way to broaden their customer base and have more revenue. And so I'm totally against it. And you and I also are going to, Autumn, we're going to talk about natural ways to get your blood pressure down.
Yeah, of course.
For people that don't, you know, that don't know where to go. There is another way. And I remember, a few years ago, it was after my second baby, and I had trouble losing that extra 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And they put me on blood pressure medication. And after about 30 days, it just made me feel so awful and so weird. I'm like, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not going to take it. Quit it, because they say once you start, you can't stop.
That's it.
Which any medication that
right.
tells you that, you need to like first go, you know, let me second think this.
Right.
Let me think about this for just another second and see if there are any other alternatives. Maybe I could lose some weight, get rid of some stress in my life, mm-hmm. Eat better. You know, there's a lot of things you can do to get rid of high blood pressure. I'm a walking example of it, living example. And so is your husband, right?
Yeah, sure. He is. And then several friends of mine as well. I mean, forever medication is rarely the answer.
Right. And it's not long. You know, you have to, you've got high blood pressure for a reason. That's not a normal way to live. There is a reason behind it. And there is no quick fix. And if you take one pill, then you usually end up taking another and another. Next thing you know, you're on a whole handful of pharmaceuticals.
And now you have no idea what's going on because you've got all this stuff in your body. You don't know what your body's doing and what the medication's doing. So it just confuses everything.
Right. With lots of side effects. And that's one of the reasons we're talking about what we are talking about with you today, Autumn, which is IBS. It's going to be really interesting. We're going to be talking about poop. So different types of poop, how you poop, you know, what your poop should look like. But this was started because I got a copy of Women's Health magazine. And in the middle of it, there was a bunch of recipes for all different kinds of meatballs and there's even veggie balls. There's meat, you know, all kinds of meat. And in the middle of these recipes that, you know, women love their recipes. They do. That's how they showcase, you know, what they got. That's one of the things that they use. So right in the middle of it, there was there was a advertisement for irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, IBS-C. I'm ready to shake off what I've tried for my belly pain and constipation. It's an advertisement for Linzess capsules. Helps to relieve reoccurring belly pain and constipation, lets you have more frequent and incomplete bowel movements that are easier to pass, blah, blah, blah. Again, okay, if you're not pooping, right, there's a problem, okay?
Yeah, maybe less meatballs.
Less meatballs. Maybe you need to drink more water. Maybe you need to get a squatty potty so you're in the correct position so right. you don't have to strain as much.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get into it right now too deep because we only got a couple minutes, but I remember my dad used to talk about this a lot, and it used to gross me out.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this, about the poop all the time. I'm like, right. Oh, my gosh, if I have to listen to one more conversation. But he used to always say it's what you eat.
Yeah.
You know, my father, he was very cool dude. And back even, you know, I mean, if he was alive now, he'd be like 100. He's been dead, I don't know, about 10 years now. He died in his mid-90s. But even then, even he knew, and he used to say, you know, you are what you eat. Of course, yeah. He was Italian, and we ate meat, but only once a week.
Right.
We ate meat once a week in our home.
You mean he was Italian?
Yeah. What did I say?
Are you sure?
Why? What did I say?
No, you said he was Italian.
Yeah. Why do you ask?
No, I would not have guessed that. Because you always say you're Italian.
Oh, I know. Well, for people that just now are joining us, they haven't heard me bragging about being Italian yet. You know, just to, if they're a new listener. But yeah, I'm proud to be Italian. I am, and I grew up in a wonderful home with wonderful parents, and we cooked at home, and we only had meat once a week. We always had a salad on the table and a bottle of red wine.
I like these people.
Yeah, and it was a simple life. And we listened to a lot of music. My mother and father laughed a lot. You know, and through some major struggles too. You know, I grew up with a brother that was schizophrenic, but you know, they didn't throw my brother in the trash. They kept him at home after, you know, he went to an institution several times, but they ended up taking care of him through the end of their lives, and he lives in a home in Houston now. But you know, so many important messages there in how you raise your family,
right.
And you stick together through hard times. And that's really what this upcoming holiday season is all about. It's about love. It's about family. It's about being thankful and gracious and have lots of gratitude for what you do have and not focusing on what you don't have.
There you go.
So we've got a great show coming up. We've got Sylvia Terror. She is a PhD and the author of the book, The Secret Life of Fat, and Dr. Brad Dieter and Autumn Warren. And stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles. I've got Aviana Barrientos in studio with me, Carla Palmer and Autumn Warren. Lexi Brinkley is not here today. She should be back tomorrow. And I've got Dr. Brad Dieter on the line with me. He is a certified sports nutritionist from the ISSN, a research scientist, nutrition coach, and aspiring Olympic weightlifter. He also runs the blog ScienceDrivenNutrition.com, which strives to bridge the gap between science and the public to bring the best information in the industry straight to you. That's science-driven nutrition. How are you doing today, Dr. Brad Dieter?
I'm doing well. I'm getting excited for the holidays. How about you guys?
Yeah, me too. Me too. I had a lot of plans in the works. I've got like 3 parties in the next couple of weeks, and so that's always fun, you know, to just create and have great recipes and food and fun. And I actually got 3 scooters this morning. I already own 3 of these same kind. They're like a real fun joystick, a scooter, and we're going to have relay races at the Christmas party. So
nice.
We're going to time everyone. I'm going to even buy helmets. I don't want anybody to get hurt. But it should be fun. And I love the holidays as well, just like you. Today, I really love what we're talking about because I think this needs addressing. And I have no idea what your take is on this subject other than we're talking about new blood pressure guidelines. And the guidelines in a nutshell state that normal blood pressure is under 120 over 80, whereas up until Monday, normal was 140 over 90. So what do you think about this, Dr. Dieter?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the big things that I wanted to talk about this is, you know, on social media, there was a big, I'll use the word hubbub, of people kind of being upset about changing the guidelines because now, you know, a lot more people are hypertensive and will be prescribed, blood pressure medications. But I think one of the reasons people, you know, kind of get up in arms about it is they don't really understand, you know, blood pressure and how it's viewed, from the medical community. And there's, you know, one of the things I do want to start with before we kind of go into a little more of the nuances, but if you, you know, a lot of people, whenever these things come out, they never go actually read the guidelines. And one of the really key pieces in these guidelines is there's, you know, in the top 10 bullets that kind of summarizes, you know, it's like the executive summary of it. They say, you know, non-pharmacological interventions to reduce blood pressure include weight loss for overweight or obese patients with a heart-healthy diet, sodium restriction, potassium supplementation, and increased physical activity with a structured exercise program.
Okay.
Limitations of alcohol, and that each lifestyle change is associated with a change of, you know, about 4 to 5 millimeters of mercury in systolic blood pressure, and that physicians should advocate for, you know, increase in fruits and vegetables and lifestyle modifications, not just pharmacological interventions. So, you know, these guidelines are not just, hey, let's put everybody on more drugs. What they really are trying to go after is, you know, when we look at, you know, all of the studies that have been done on heart disease and heart disease death, is anytime you can bring somebody's blood pressure down to below these current guidelines of, you know, of 140 or 130, is you dramatically reduce people's risk of cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we talk about like physicians or medical communities trying to lower blood pressure, is what they're really trying to do is lower your risk of cardiovascular disease and then cardiovascular disease related death. So it's not so much that it's the guidelines that we're just trying to get everybody below this number, but we're really trying to reduce cardiovascular disease risk, which is still, you know, the number one cause of death, and that it's really a combination of lifestyle modification and then what's what's the minimal amount of pharmacological therapy we need on top of all these lifestyle changes to get people's risk profiles reduced?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you feel comfortable writing a prescription for a blood pressure drug for somebody who had the blood pressure of 120 over 80?
No, and that's usually not, you know, the way that the blood pressure medications go, right? Usually how it goes is if you're severely hypertensive, then, you know, you use blood pressure medication to bring it down while people are managing all these other lifestyle changes until you get it into an acceptable risk profile. But for people who are, you know, on the borderline, is the first move is always lifestyle modification. And if those, you know, don't end up happening with patients, then that's when they start to move to more pharmaceutical interventions to try to lower it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm looking at some of the data here. It talks about what the new guidelines say, and they're kind of targeting people 60 and older should aim for blood pressure. The old standard was 140 over 90. Now the new is the old standard was 140 over 90, and the new is 150 over 90. Is that right? That doesn't seem right. And it says people with diabetes or kidney disease should stay at or below. The old was 130 over 80, and the new is 140 over 90. And it says that the new blood pressure guidelines should be dangerous for some. Does I'm questioning this article now. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Well, so here's the way it the way it's happened and unfolded, and why these new guidelines have been updated. So there's been some really large scale clinical trials that have basically tried to answer the question of, you know, if we treat people pharmacologically to more intensive blood pressure therapy, is it good for them, and what are the associated risks? And do those risks outweigh the benefits? So they've done this study in a lot of different people, but mainly they've done it in people who are, you know, kind of middle-aged or older and at risk for cardiovascular disease, and people with and without diabetes. And essentially what they've shown is if you're, a middle-aged person who is at risk for cardiovascular disease, but you don't have diabetes, these more, you know, intensive or aggressive blood pressure guidelines actually do substantially lower your risk of cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have diabetes, or if you have, some sort of kidney disease, treating those people to more aggressive blood pressure therapy doesn't have any benefit, and there's actually additional risk. So that's one of the other updates that comes with these guidelines is, it's not just hey, let's give everybody more blood pressure medication, but, you know, here's what we've learned. Here's the group of people who do benefit from a little bit more intensive management of blood pressure via, you know, diet, lifestyle, and then if we can't achieve it with that, then we go to blood pressure medication. And then here's the people who, you know, even if we do treat them to this lower intensive therapy, they don't get any benefit and there's additional harm, so we probably shouldn't treat them as aggressively as other people. So
mm-hmm.
That's the other big piece is this update, you know, not only just said, okay, now we've learned a little bit more about how aggressive we should manage blood pressure to avoid cardiovascular disease, but also here's the people we shouldn't treat, you know, even after lifestyle modification and stuff like that. If it hasn't brought it down, we should not give mm-hmm. them prescriptions because of the additional risk.
Well, I'm reading this. This is the same article. According to Jackson T. Wright, Jr., MD, author of The Minority View and director of the Clinical Hypertension Program at the University's Hospitals Case Medical Center in Cleveland. In fact, my grandfather graduated from there as a doctor. It could leave older adults with untreated high blood pressure at greater risk for complications, especially for African Americans and those with additional cardiovascular risk factors. But, you know, who paid for this study, Dr. Dieter? I have to ask. Do you have any idea who paid for it? Was it the pharmaceutical companies? And what are they really, you know, you hate to, you know, think like that, but because of all the controversy and all of the corruption that's taken place in the pharmaceutical industry, basically tricking Americans into taking more and more drugs based on these medical studies, I have to ask the obvious question, who paid for the study?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of answers to your questions, and I'll try to work through them as quick as I can. But so these guidelines weren't based on a single study. They were based on a collection of studies. And the way that it works, traditional scientific model is a lot of the basic science that discovers, you know, how these drugs work, do they work, they start with government-based funding. So it's very unbiased sources of funding that come in.
Not sure about
that.
I'm not sure about that, but go continue. I'm going to listen.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to push back there because these are, you know, scientists in their 20s to 30s to 40s who are getting funding from, you know, tax dollars that fund basic science. They discover things, and then they go into clinical trials. And then once something is a therapeutic that might work, then it takes industry money to bring it to these large trials because the cost of bringing any therapy, whether it's, you know, even like an antiviral that cures, you know, Ebola or something like that, I mean, these drugs cost, you know, average $2.5 billion. So mm-hmm. It usually goes what I would consider fairly unbiased funding for most of these products' lives, and then it takes industry to bring them to the mass scale. And then once that happens, then it is, you know, these studies are done over, you know, 10, 15, 20 different institutions. You've got review boards of 30 or 40 scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And so the amount, when it gets to this level, the amount of, you know, industry pushing results of these kind of trials, it's a lot smaller than a lot of people think, mm-hmm. just because there's so many different independent people who are involved in a lot of these studies, and it comes from a collection of evidence that's so wide.
Right, and I'm not
that
faulting...
That doesn't mean there can't be some sort of, you know, industry influence, but the amount to which it influences policy and things like that is usually a lot less than most people assume.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about great scientists like Sheldon Krimsky, who's been on the show, who studied non-GMOs, but they, you know, they only, and I believe he was paid by Monsanto to do the research, but they only used some of it, not all of it. You know, it's just, I wish we could talk even longer. There's so much to talk about here, but I'm going to stop because if I don't, then it'll just go too long. But I love your opinion. I respect you as a doctor. And thank you so much for jumping on One Life Radio every week like you do and keeping us abreast of everything. Thanks, Dr. Dieter. All right, everyone. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why ICW? ICW because Charlotte's Web is an amazing family-owned Colorado company founded by the Stanley Brothers. CW Hemp leads the industry in quality, safety, consistency, and social responsibility to improve lives daily through the use of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. I personally use CW for calm and focus. CW Hemp helps me perform my best every day, and that's why I CW. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Welcome back to
One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Dan the Man. I've got Aviana Barrientos in studio with me, Carla Palmer, Autumn Warren, and our very special guest today, Sylvia Terra. She holds a PhD in biochemistry from the University of California, San Diego, and she has an MBA from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. She was a healthcare management consultant with McKinsey & Company and has worked for the world's largest biotechnology companies. After an extended battle with fat, Dr. Terra became fascinated with its resiliency and embarked on a mission to better understand it. This book is the culmination of years of research and interviews with physicians, patients, and leading scientists. The Secret Life of Fat will forever change how you think about this very misunderstood organ. Welcome, Dr. Terra. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well,
how are you?
I'm well. And I think the first thing people are going to go when they're going to think when they're listening to this is, wait a minute, fat is an organ? So maybe you could explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, sure. So we like to think of fat as just simply a reserve of calories, just something that we have to get rid of. It's extra. We have to get rid of this at all costs. But it turns out fat is by far more complicated, which is why it's hard to lose. So fat's not just sitting there. It's not just sitting there waiting for us to expend some energy. It actually is a functioning endocrine organ, meaning that it's releasing hormones into our bodies, hormones that have vast effects on a number of different organs in our bodies. For example, a brain size is linked to fat, healthy fat. Our immune system is linked to a healthy fat level. And so is our metabolism and our appetite. So it's very important to understand all aspects of fat, because even though we don't value our fat, our body does, and it has very specific and strong ways to protect fat when we try to lose it.
Well, and it affects many things, as you said, including our brain size, also our reproduction system, right, and our bone strength.
That's right, all of those things. And that's because, again, it's the hormones that it's releasing that affect all those different organs and help them be functional.
Well, so I know you talk about, nature has ways to protect us, and nature values our fat. How so?
So fat, because of the hormones it has, like for example, fat can produce estrogen, and a lot of people don't think about that, but when women become menopausal, they rely on their fat for their source of estrogen. And in a way, that's why older women tend to have some more fat. It's like the body's realizing this, and it's protecting that fat again.
Mm.
Also, leptin is a key hormone, and that's the one that is linked to the reproductive system as well. It's linked to our brain size as well, so and also our metabolism and our appetite. So when we lose fat, we lose some leptin, because fat is releasing leptin. Therefore, when we get less fat, we have less leptin. What that happens then is that our metabolism gets slower. It actually binds with our muscles and our brain, leptin does. And so when we lose some leptin, we have a slower metabolism. Also, our appetite goes through the roof. We become obsessive about food, and that's because leptin binds in regions of the hypothalamus that control appetite. So dieters, when they're losing weight, tend to be very hungry, obsessive about food, and they have a lower metabolism. And that is a really important way that fat fights to come back onto our bodies. Again, our body doesn't really want to lose that fat. And unless you're aware of this, you can succumb to just regaining that weight all the time, which is mostly what happens to dieters. They are regaining weight after a year. So you have to be aware of what's happening. It's not your failure. It's not that you're on the wrong diet. It is just your body's response to losing fat. And once you understand that, you can soldier through. You can come up with other devices, distractions to get through that very hard time in your life. And it's also important to pick a diet that works for the long run, because this effect that I mentioned, the lower metabolism, higher appetite, doesn't necessarily go away very quickly. It can last for years. And sometimes it might be permanent in some people. And so find something that really works for you for the long haul, and you'll be able to succeed on a diet.
This book is fascinating. It really is, because it goes so in depth. And there's a lot of great stories in it, too, by the way. But, you know, can we talk about fat and its relationship to the mitochondria, and also the relationship from to the mitochondria and disease? So I'm trying to make the connection here about a diet high in fat really helps ward off a lot of disease, is where I'm going with this. Is that correct?
Yeah, and there's something called the obesity paradox, where they're noticing people who have a little bit more fat, more than normal, they actually do better than people who are underweight. And that includes, surprisingly, even people with diabetes, cardiovascular disease, a number of different issues. So as the disease progresses, there's a higher chance of living longer if you have a little bit more fat. And, some of this, it's really controversial, and different studies show different things. And the question is, what is causing this? And one thought is that fat provides a kind of cushion of energy. if you will, when your body is really sick. Other things are, like, what else is causing this? Are these people healthier in other ways? Because you can be fit but fat. You can have some extra fat and still be healthy. So, you know, what's causing that? But there has been shown a number of times in very large studies this link between a little extra fat and actually a higher survival curve.
That's interesting. And it makes me think of nature. You know, fat protects fish, you know, in cold water fish, and protects them during the winter when there's not enough food. You know, there's all kinds of things I'm thinking about in nature. But of course,
well, look at the bear.
And the bear. Exactly.
Yeah. Hibernation.
Good point, because there's different types of fats in our body, too. And that's something you have to realize. And there's a type of fat called brown fat. And brown fat is not a store, necessarily just a store of excess calories. It has an opposite function. It burns calories to produce heat in our bodies. And people who swim in cold waters, some of these athletes, they have higher proportions of brown fat. And it's actually burning calories for heat. So depending on what kind of fat you have, it's doing very different things. The fat we want to lose is white fat. It's and there's two kinds of white fat. There's that white fat right underneath your skin, like in your thighs, your buttocks, your arms, right? That's the extra store of fat. There's also visceral white fat, and that is the fat underneath your stomach wall, nestled against your internal organs. That is the really dangerous type of white fat, and that's the type that's really linked to type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. Now, what's really interesting is I do tell stories. The book is all told through stories to make it interesting instead of just a dry, factual read. So it's told through stories of scientists, researchers, patients, doctors. And one story I tell is on sumo wrestlers, and this is fascinating. So sumo wrestlers are obese, but they're actually quite healthy. They don't have any of these metabolic diseases you would think come with someone who's obese. And the reason this is because our fat, once again, very clever, it produces a hormone called adiponectin. Adiponectin clears our blood of triglycerides, cholesterol, and it puts into fat deposits, subcutaneous fat deposits, where fat belongs. And that tends to be healthier fat. Now, because sumo wrestlers exercise for 6 hours a day, they have plenty of adiponectin. They actually don't have much visceral fat at all. All that fat is coming out of the visceral section, and it's going into subcutaneous fat, a healthier store of fat. So these sumo wrestlers are quite healthy.
Wow.
Interestingly, when they come off their regimen and they stop exercising, when they retire, they get unhealthy very quickly. And that's a really good, you know, it's a good point. It's a little bit of consolation. If you have to have some extra fat, you know, okay, have extra fat. Make sure it's in the right places, and yet you're staying healthy with your fat.
And that it's brown fat, not white fat.
Well, it can be white fat as long as it's subcutaneous fat underneath the skin, like your thighs, your buttocks, your arms. That's all fine. Even on the stomach, as long as it's right underneath the skin.
Okay.
It's that visceral fat underneath the stomach wall, the most dangerous type. One quick test to know if you have that is try lying flat on your back. And if your stomach flattens, it's probably more subcutaneous fat. But if you still have a paunch when you're lying down, that is probably visceral fat, and that's the dangerous fat.
Well, are there certain foods that cause more visceral fat than the good fat?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so I think, you know, eating healthy fats overall is a really good thing to do. Not overeating at given times. That's when you're really storing a lot of fat. Exercise is really the one thing that's been found to get rid of visceral fat. So there's one research showed that jogging 20 miles a week will actually help reduce visceral fat and get fat into subcutaneous areas where it belongs. And that sounds like it's very hard, but it's about three miles a day, right? That ought to keep your visceral fat levels low. Another thing that's really good to think about is a growth hormone. And that is something that peaks at night while we're sleeping. Our growth hormone levels are the highest. So intermittent fasting, right, extending that overnight fast a bit by eating dinner early, eating a little bit of later breakfast, that is also shown to reduce visceral fat levels and control appetite.
Mm.
And that's something I write about in The Secret Life of Fat is intermittent fasting. And I know that's what I use to reduce my extraordinarily stubborn fat in the end.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, again, it sounds harder than it is. It's an early dinner. Stop eating around 5 or 6 o'clock and don't eat your breakfast till 9 or 10. And and if I had to give one tip to people, that would be a really quick and effective tip to start getting rid of some fat.
Stress.
Does metabolism play a role? Because the reason why I'm asking this is, what if you are older and you're not able to exercise, or you have an injury and you're not able to exercise, and I guess the older that you get, your metabolism slows down. What would you suggest to some of the seniors out there?
I have a whole chapter on age and fat. So I'm so glad you asked me.
Nice.
So the other thing to think about is not only that fat is an organ and fat protects itself, but the whole middle section of my book is all these ways we get fat that we don't think about. It's not just overeating and lack of exercise, though those are certainly, you know, reasons for many people. There's actually bacteria plays a role in fat, so that the gut bacteria we have, the type of bacteria we have will play a role in how much fat that we extract and store. And also gender plays a big role. Hormones as we age plays a big role in fat. So when we're young, we have plenty of testosterone, estrogen, growth hormone, keeps us pretty thin. As we age, those hormone levels start to decline. We start to get fatter. And so we have to up the ante as we age if we want to stay thin. In fact, one study I write about is this man who studied 5,000 male runners. And he noticed no matter how much they were running, they would gain weight every year. And the only way they could keep it off is if they increased their running by about 1.4 miles every week, right, to stay thinner. So we have to up the ante if we want to stay thin in old age. And doing that, it's really a matter of playing with our hormones, if you will. So doing that intermittent fasting, getting the growth hormone up, doing resistance exercise to get testosterone and growth hormone up, and then also running, right? Have your adiponectin levels higher. And also running and or general exercise also increases brown fat. So that that takeaway is be smart about your fat. Mm-hmm. It's not just food. It's not just exercise. There's a number of things that will make us fat. Be really smart. Know your fat, and knowledge is power, and will help you design your own diet if you have to take your fat off and keep it at a healthy level.
Interesting. And thank you so much. I like it that we can say fat and say it several times without feeling like we're insulting anyone, because we all have a little of it, you know, that we need to manage. Thank you so much, Dr. Sylvia Tara. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And the name of the book, you guys, again, is The Secret Life of Fat. I got mine at Amazon.com. Daniel Tagg is the one that told me about it. So thank you to Daniel Tagg as well. Stay tuned. We've got Autumn Warren coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio. We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates crazy water from the rest. Crazy water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi guys, it's me, Bernadette. You know I would never mislead you. When I first heard about the Squatty Potty, I was like, what? And now I can't even imagine my life without it. Get your Squatty Potty at Target, Vitamin Shoppe, Kohl's, or Costco, or online at SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com. Poo poo pee doo.
Welcome back to One Life.
Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Carla Palmer in studio with me and Autumn Warren. I want to let everybody know that you can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn. You can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors because they bring this programming to you. Charlotte's Web, that's CW Hemp, Squatty Potty. We'll be talking a lot about the Squatty Potty coming up here. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, Sun Warrior, that's a great company. They're all great companies. Paleo Magazine, you know, great people trying to get you best educated on the latest science and truth behind the scenes. And thank you so much for listening. So Autumn Warren, she's becoming a regular on the show. I love this girl. She's really smart. She basically healed my finger without me going to the hospital and saved me $1,000 at least.
My claim to fame.
Her claim to fame. She healed my finger. But she is a self-taught vegan cook, mom of two, researcher of all natural remedies, animal lover. She teaches free meditation and yoga classes at her manufacturing plant, the studio that she has there in Fort Worth, Texas. And she has written a children's book, and she is also the inventor of Ether Elixir. You can find her at probioticsyall.com. That's probioticsyall.com. Okay, so what is IBS, Autumn, for people that don't know?
You know what? IBS is just any kind of chronic digestive complaint, really. There's all kinds of symptoms, mainly gas, bloating, cramping, either constipation or diarrhea. It's pretty much if your digestive system isn't running smoothly, mm-hmm. you likely have some form of IBS.
Well, and this is kind of like a forbidden topic, a verboten topic. You know, people don't want to talk about poop. I never did. Jill Lane used to make me crazy when I first started the show over six years ago, and she would always want to talk about poop, and it would make me so uncomfortable. And then Squatty Potty became a sponsor of the show, and we talk about poop all the time.
I know.
Or you know, elimination, proper elimination. We can call it, what's another nice word we could come up for it?
My Scottish grandfather used to always say that. Well, how's your poop?
Oh, really?
It was always discussion.
Oh my gosh.
They knew even back then it was important.
No, I told you. My dad was, I'm like, yeah. La, la, la. I don't want to hear. What are you talking about? Like, stop talking about it.
Well, in my business, I get people coming up to me all the time. I mean, it's like I've met somebody for 5 minutes and I know everything about their poop. It's bizarre. But
crazy.
I'm kind of into it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, okay. You know, it's like interesting to know that so many people have these thoughts and they really don't have anyone to discuss
it about.
And
there's certainly really no one in media talking like this openly about it, which is kind of fun in itself. But okay, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here. Should you poop daily?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. I don't understand. It's like people are totally unaware of how often they should be pooping. You should poop 1 to 2 times a day. Like every day.
I don't know how you hear people that say they go 2 or 3 days or like a week or they can't, you know, do it while they're traveling.
For sure.
And it's like, wow. And another thing that I think people, and I've just from all the reading that I've done to prepare for this, that you should not have regular diarrhea. For people that do, that's not good.
No, it's just as bad as constipation. It's just the other direction. So, you know, if you have regular diarrhea, then you're depleting your body of all kinds of trace minerals and all kinds of nutrients you could be getting from your food. Whereas if you have constipation, your body isn't functioning properly and getting rid of all the toxins and all the waste, and it's allowing a bad environment for bacteria to grow in. So each one is bad.
You know, it seems to me, just based on all the stuff that we talk about, this is kind of a simple problem, you know, to fix.
Yeah.
And that you need to be more properly hydrated. You need to get exercise. You need to not eat a lot of really heavy foods that are difficult to digest.
Right.
Like a lot of meat. And I think one of the reasons you see an increase in this, so much so that there are pharmaceutical companies that now have, you know, created pharmaceuticals for this.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to it is just eating well, exercising, drinking lots of water. Am I wrong?
Well, there is more to it than that. Because if you've had had IBS for a while, then there's likely a lot of damage done to your intestines. So the first thing that you really need to do is you need to cleanse. You need to cleanse, and I don't mean like just any kind of cleanse. I mean a cleanse that's really targeted at healing your digestive tract. Usually that's one that involves some form of oxygen-bound magnesium or ozonated magnesium. That way the folds in your intestines are all kind of blown up, and then the magnesium draws water out of the intestines, kind of slough off anything that's grown on the sides of your intestines. Think of it as like, you know, cleaning out a pipe. So right. You want to do that, and then you want to try to heal it. So you can heal it with natural things like aloe water or different clays. A diatomaceous earth will have a lot of trace minerals in it. You're essentially trying to fix the damage that has been caused by improper bowel movements.
I read something yesterday about diatomaceous. How do you pronounce
diatomaceous.
It? Diatomaceous mm-hmm. earth, which you use outside. You know,
you can use
your pool
all
filter,
kinds
all kinds of stuff. I'm like, and
I'm not talking about the pool.
Grade.
Yeah, food grade.
Food grade. Yeah. Okay. Oh, so there are different grades.
It was my post. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pool.
No,
pool
I read it somewhere else, but it was about little diamonds that scrub your intestine walls because it doesn't break down.
The diatomaceous earth are fossilized crustaceans, like microscopic organisms.
Okay.
So they've got a lot of benefit in killing tiny parasites. They've got benefit in trace minerals. There's a lot of health benefits to diatomaceous.
Well, you know, I got out my laptop this morning mm-hmm. and I all I put in was IBS.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came up was there's another drug too, Vibrizi, Vibrizi. Vibrizi.
Yeah.
It says irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea explained, and then it just goes on to talk mm-hmm. about it. But the symptoms of IBS, symptoms like abdominal pain and diarrhea are uncomfortable, bothersome, and frustrating. Even when they aren't present, you never know when they might come back. So it says to take this drug, but it's so funny. Here we go again. You know, with these drugs and the side effects of these drugs. So it talks about Vibrizi can cause serious side effects, including inflammation of the pancreas, pancreatitis. I don't know.
It doesn't sound good either way.
Either way. Has happened most often to people who do not have a gallbladder and can lead to hospitalization. So this pancreatitis has led to death in some people who do not have a gallbladder. They're giving all the warnings of these drugs.
Right.
So when I'm reading that, I'm thinking to myself, this is not the route.
It sounds worse than IBS.
Yeah, this is scary. And it says it could even cause death. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know,
they have to put that in there.
Well,
if it does cause death.
Well, yeah. Their
butt is covered.
Right. Absolutely. But the fact that it could cause death should make everybody's hair stand on end.
Right.
And fix the problem, because this IBS happened for a reason. Again, just like what we talked about with Dr. Tara.
Yeah.
Who was just on talking about The Secret Life of Fat, her book.
Oh, sure.
And so what do you want to tell people about this your experience?
Well, there's lots of reasons for IBS. It can be caused just because you're a sensitive individual who has a sensitive gastrointestinal tract. Maybe it's because of allergies. Maybe it's because of stress. Maybe it's because of other health issues, autoimmune disease. The real thing is always treat the root of the problem. And mm-hmm. the root of the problem is never going to be treated with a pharmaceutical drug. It just never is.
You know, I think it's more prevalent now than it seems like it ever has been. Or maybe it's just
Talked about. You know,
talked about more.
I'm 36 and I've had IBS the majority of my life. And, you know, the funny thing is that my mother did the right thing. She took me to the right doctor. Several doctors. I remember it very vividly as a child because I used to miss school because of stomach aches and cramping and stuff. And the unfortunate thing is the doctors, they all told my mom that it was just stress, that I was just an anxious child. And that even resulted in me moving back a grade, which is really disappointing for me as a child because I love knowledge as much as I do now. So for me to go back and repeat a grade that I had already been in, and it was all because of IBS.
All because of IBS. So as an adult now, what do you think was the root of it?
As an adult, I believe I have celiac genes, so I'm definitely sensitive to gluten. Removing that from my diet helped tremendously, but really just resetting my microbiome. Like I said, I did cleanses to get all the gunk out. I healed my gut with lots of natural remedies, and then I've just, you know, been pumping probiotics like nobody's business.
Well, and you're
That's I'm it. Cured. I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, my life is a lot better. You know, it's a tremendous, when your digestion is working properly, I mean, it's a whole new
the
world.
The world is a beautiful place. I would imagine it's not when it's not.
Yeah.
Always love having you on, Autumn. Thank you so much. Everyone else, thank you. Thank you for listening. We always love doing the show. You know, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.